Hi, welcome to Mark Langley's Horsemanship Podcast. I'm Jenny Barnes.
And I'm Mark Langley.
Michelle has a filly who pins her ears at her when she approaches her in the paddock and is dominant around food. She's had her for 2 months, so they're still working each other out, and she's paddocked alone. When she walks up to greet me, when I first arrive at the paddock, she's interested and is okay with me catching her. That is, she isn't pinning her ears. And if I'm wandering around and approach her again, she's clear about being unhappy. She pins her ears, sometimes motions her rear end in my direction, and I have used the flag to slow her approach around food, and it feels like it's turned into a fight. I'm training her in her paddock, her turf. Lately, I put her bucket under the fence, and she wanders down to it in her own time, avoiding conflict. On the weekend, when I have more time, I walk the bucket in and ask her to wait before I leave it for her. If she's halted and I take her to the food, she's better about it, especially if away from the paddock. My question is whether mostly avoiding the fight is a good idea. I feel like I started with an enthusiastic filly running up to greet me, and now she's becoming increasingly unhappy in my company. When in season, things become reactive. When being led outside the paddock, she can rear and want to leave. And I'm looking for your thoughts on building some good feelings back with her. Just to add to this, I have spent some time today with no expectations. Today I caught her, I led her just outside the paddock and gave her the bucket of food and brushed her. No pinned ears. I felt calm and was enjoying brushing her, and the walk around this also went well.
Lots of little things in there. As I say, to be a fly on the wall sometimes would be nice. So when I get horses at clinics that have certain personalities and quite protective around their bubbles, but quite strong feelings on certain things, and have quite a dominant way around people, sometimes there was something that set up that fight, and sometimes it could be an altercation that we had with our horse. But some of those altercations are in just general training when we're educating our horses. Sometimes if we educate in a certain way, we start to get a slightly sour horse. Now, you're seeing a lot of sourness in the paddock when she's free, but when she's got the halter on, she sort of softens a little. So when she's free, you're seeing it as in when you walk up to her in certain situations and certain angles, she's quite expressive with her bubble. When she's around food, she's quite expressive because she feels she's got that freedom to just express herself and show that. But when maybe you've got a holder on, it's a little different story. Why is she not that bright-eyed little horse that's coming up to you saying, hey, hello, how are you going? That's the bit I don't, you know, there could be a few things in there and interactions and the way you work her and the way you groundwork her that might set up a bit of a bad feeling, but I can't say that for sure because I'm not sure on that situation. All I can say is it's okay to be clear with your boundaries, and that won't make horses upset. The thing I notice that causes horses to become a little bit dominant is a lack of clarity in our belief in ourself. I'm going to talk about that more so in this answer than a bunch of different ways to sort of approach her. But so a lot of times at clinics, I'm trying to help people believe in their decisions and look like they believe in it, okay? And a simple decision may be, I'm going to step over there and I mean it. And when I step to there, I'm going to stand there and nothing's going to change my mind. The only thing that changes your mind is when you need to step somewhere else because you need to help your horse, okay? So helping the horse is making a conscious decision to do something that's in the horse's benefit. But if you've got a horse, now a lot of horses subtly move our feet, and a lot of times when we're working our horses, we're horse managers. Now what a horse manager looks like is like, hello, how are you going? Oh, can you do this? Don't do this. And the person's constantly on their horse managing it, communicating with their horse like a person, you know, face-to-face interaction. When I'm moving the horse here, it's face-to-face interaction. And a lot of times we forget that actually we're just making decisions around our horses. So what I say with those horses that get a little bit almost like they're trying to manage you a little bit by moving you and, you know, like you talk about pecking order, the horse is starting to manipulate the person a bit more. Or maybe they see something in the person that is available to be manipulated, as in the bright-eyed little young horse comes up, but then after a while she gets in the herd a bit and gets a bit older and starts to become a little bit like, oh, if I do this, I can control that horse there, and oh, wow, and they start to express themselves more, and then they start to do that with us. Even if we haven't had a really bad experience with them, that's them kind of feeling, hey. So with those horses, I just say, I'm not going to buy into that. What are you talking about? That doesn't affect me. My decision was to stand here with this feed bucket, and it's my feed bucket, and when you come over here looking all aggressive like you want to change it, that doesn't bother me. I'm just going to stand here, and I'm going to stand here, and I believe it. I'm not going to even worry about your ears back. If those ears back turn into that she's going to come in, and it looks like she's going to come in and go bang, well, that's when you just gently have the flag there and say, I told you that's my boundary, but I'm not going to buy into that. And sometimes they can do all that and that hoo-ha, and then they go, Well, that's not working with them. They're not making all. They're not doing something. They're not, you know. I'm not setting up a little altercation. I'm not moving their feet, and then they start to sort of soften and go, oh, well, I've tried that now and it didn't work. I'll try something else, which might be I might walk up softly. So basically, you've got to believe in your decision to stand your ground and look like you believe it. Another thing is around horses like that. You start to watch you over your shoulder and watch your back a little, and it's important, I guess, because you don't want to get bitten or something like that, and they get a bit, so you start to watch them more and you kind of pay more attention to all their signals. But the problem with doing that, you become an observer and a manager, where you may as well be sitting there with your binoculars on looking over your horse all the time, and to them it just doesn't look like you believe in your own decisions because you're constantly focused on them. So around those horses, it's really important to, when you walk somewhere, you look and you walk there like you believe in it, and you're constantly believing that you're going to get to that next spot. And if I was going to walk in that direction, I'm going over there and I'm stopping right here and I'm going to stay here, and I could stay here for a long time. So with those horses, like with another horse that believes in itself, it's going to walk to the water trough, and the other horse is going, look, they're walking to the water trough, and then they go, or that horse is walking over there, and that's making a good decision. So we're going to follow that horse, but that horse doesn't turn around and go, hey, everybody, come on, let's catch up. You know, the horse might just walk over there because they're responsible for their own decisions in a way. So around those horses, look a bit more like that. Don't show the horse that you're, when it's trying to manipulate you, that you're being manipulated by it. And don't allow the horse to think that it can move your feet. And often those little things just kind of dissipate and die a natural death. But when you're educating your horse, don't start to look like a bully. So don't go into that, you know, I'm going to drive you around and I'm going to drive you around and I'm going to push you down the pecking order sort of stuff. Otherwise, she'll always be really sour when she sees you coming, because she knows there's going to be that altercation. So in your work with her, don't look like the bully and then sort of suddenly wonder why she's getting her ears back all the time. So when you guide her, you've got to guide her, not drive her like a horse moves other horses by pushing them over here and pushing them over there. So you've got to also take that into play.
This is our question from HZ. He's got a young horse who's had about 12 to 15 rides. They're going super at the walk and the trot. They can go, stop, rein back, open rein to abduct front legs, indirect rein to disengage hind. Turning at the walk is responsive. However, when she turns to the left, she tends to fall in with her shoulder. She's starting to turn whilst keeping on trotting, and to the right she's fairly good. But when she falls in at the trot to the left, she loses her balance and walks. I let her walk, then complete the turn and trot again. She's okay doing that, but goes a bit wiggly after. Have you got any suggestions of how to keep her in the turn to the left and keep her balance? Doesn't seem to matter where the turn is made in the arena. She's not gravitating to other horses, etc.
My first car was a HZ Kingswood. That's cool, HZ. I just was riding a horse today with the same problem, actually, because I'm here on a 6-day intensive clinic up on the Sunshine Coast, and there's a young horse I'm riding, a young Morgan horse, that has a similar problem. And we got to the end of the lesson today, and I had a, you know, play with a few things, and, you know, because sometimes in 3 days, the first day is experimenting with where the horse is at, trying to figure out where you want to sort of spend, you know, where you want to put more efforts in to fix the more chronic braces or the bigger problems, and then sort of work out how you're going to kind of, you know, send them back with the owner. But this particular horse gets a little bracy in both left and right rein, but more the right rein, I think, and kind of falls in. Most all horses that I've experienced that fall in never loosen and look into their turn correctly. They tend to be the horses that kind of don't flick that ear, loosen their jaw, look into the turn, and just float. They kind of a little bracy. They'll kind of block on the jaw, block on the rein a little, and just fall in like that. And some of those horses, when you're doing your, when you, you know, you're opening up the forequarter like you're talking about, you'll find that they're not, you know, there still might be a glitch in there. So when you're taking that inside rein, they're kind of just not looking into that turn. They're just kind of locking and going, yeah, I can step over now. Look at me, I'm pretty good at this. But if you're looking harder at it, you'll realise they're not really loosening and looking. Some horses can loosen up at the walk and then sort of step in, but at the trot, they suddenly go, nee, 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 and they stiffen up. Now, this little mare that I was riding, at the walk, I could effectively, after a bit, but at the start of the walk, she was still kind of a little bracy, and it took a bit to get her to let go of gazing when she was walking. And what I noticed is once I got her to let go of that and she got a little more balanced, when I trotted her, she just went back to going, ears out there, machine, and she was just kind of gazing. And then when you try to break that gaze, she just fall into the turn. So some horses automatically go to the next gear and they start to kind of get stiff again. So to combat that, I was saying to the owner of the horse, I'd get it really good in the walk that the horse can loosely turn and you can take that out, take a left rein or a right rein, and there is no question of flicking an ear, looking into the turn, loosening in the jaw, and just floating with that rein to the left, floating with that rein to the right, until you can pretty well float that horse left, float it right, and you know that you've picked that rein up 100 times, you pick that one up 100 times, and that horse has done it perfectly 100 times till there's no question. And then you might just trot a few steps and then walk into that turn where that horse floats into that turn. Trot a few steps, walk and float into that turn until the horse goes, oh, if you let it trot 10 steps, it might get all braced up and then it might fall in before it finally turns. So you only put it into the trot for a few strides before you turn it. And like another little lesson, like there's a few ways I call it the circle of death, but there's a funny story behind that, so it's not really a nice way of saying something, but it's basically putting yourself in an imaginary circle and trying to protect your horse from the edge until your horse can loosely walk a circle without having to kick it at the same time. So for the horses that feel like they're going to slow down in one particular rein or the other, I'll do that circle. So I'll say go with the legs until the horse is going, and then I'll say turn, and the horse will slow down a little, and then I'll let it out and say go again, and then because I'm in a little circle, the horse will go to touch the edge, and I'll protect the horse from the edge until it bends, and I'll take it across there, and then I'll keep doing that until that horse, when I pick up the rein, it bends and looks into that turn but keeps moving without slowing down. And that's another one you can get the horse working on, flowing each direction. Another one is when they can bend a little and look in there. And that was another lesson I was doing with a couple of horses today, is bend a little, look a little, and I push the rein up against their neck and forward like this, and then they'll bend out and float their shoulders out a little. So when I come up into a little turn, I'll take the shoulders out a little and then in a little. But what I do at a walk is I make sure that they go out a little, and before their thoughts go through their outside eye and lock onto their outside eye, I'll lift and open the reins so they move their shoulders out, and then while they're bent that way or that way, depending, that was the right rein, but that left rein, but doesn't matter either rein, you take them out a little with the inside rein, and then you say pick up and step in. So you really want them to lift their wither and step in with the inside rein. So you go out and then in. And then after a while, you do out and then follow the feel around the corner until they're kind of bending and going around like that. And that's another good lesson to get them a little looser in those shoulders. But first port of call is your horse flicking an ear, loosening and looking into that turn like a natural, I want to follow my friend's look. And if the horse is not doing that, work more on that first. And then practice those other lessons of loosening up those shoulders a little bit and loosening up the jaw while the horse is looking in and moving out, and then follow the rein back in again. And I'm sure with all those kind of things put together and focusing on that and the horse engaging with that rein, you'll find you start to clean it up. But it doesn't matter if you walk the turn till it's perfect and then trot a little and then walk the turn, trot a little, walk the turn, and then trot a little and turn, and you might find it all come together.
For those of you listening on podcast, these sessions are actually recorded on video, so members can see Mark with all his hand gestures describing what he's actually talking about as well. So that is helpful. So if you are a member online, you can watch these videos on the Facebook group page. Okay, this is a question from Cheryl. Cheryl is wondering what to do with feel when with the rope, forward, back and at the walk from the ground. Her Arab keeps stopping. Does she use the flag? And if so, how? To keep her going forward? She had done this riding too. She just stops. She hasn't been ridden for 12 months, so she's gone back to groundwork to try and help this out without having the bridle on and to try and help her figure it out.
Head pressure on horses. A lot of horses kind of dull out on head pressure, and it causes them to sometimes... It causes them to block out and dull out, and a lot of horses will just brace and freeze up in head pressure, and they just won't move. And so say for instance, if she's the sort of horse that she just freezes a little bit when you're holding pressure on, say for instance you ask her to come forward and you've got a nice short rein, short rope on her, then you say, can you come forward? No body language from you, just purely forward to that leading hand that you're leading her forward and backwards with. So you're just standing beside her, left side or right side, but ultimately wanting to do both sides. Nice and close in hand, and you just want her to go forward with her eye past you and then bring her eye back past you again in reverse. So she's going forwards and backwards like a seesaw, or you know, forwards and backwards like that beside you. If you pull forward and she just freezes and rolls her eyes back and goes, la, 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 I'm not searching, well, you hold that pressure and then you just pop the flag on your leg, and she'll kind of, you'll feel her start to pull and wriggle in your hand. As soon as she starts to pull and wriggle, well, you stop the flag because she's actually searching. Most cases, the horse will kind of pull and wriggle and turn and pull, and then they'll step forward. Some horses will start walking backwards, but walking backwards, pulling and wriggling is all them searching for an answer, and that's where you just hang in there till they release and step forward. And it's the same in the reverse. If you push back and they just shut down a little, you can just pop that flag and they can pull and wriggle and fight, and then they'll actually find the backup, or they'll find the further forward by searching. And in searching, they'll realize what door's closed and what door's open, which means usually when they do take a forward or backward step, they'll have a stronger thought towards it because they will have tested the other direction. What I mean by that is if I was looking forward and there was a brick wall in front of me, then I would choose backwards because I know I can't go forwards. But if there was an invisible wall I wasn't sure about, but I walked up to it and I tested it with my, I went, oh, hang on a minute, I can't get through there, then I choose to go backwards. But either way, I chose to go backwards because I tested forwards. Whereas a lot of people just push pressure on horses and it's like the wall pushing backwards, but you don't know backwards is available. When you feel the horse load up in your hand and just shut down, then basically pop the flag to get it searching. If it's one of those horses that are kind of, you're looking at it and you're holding it, but you can see it searching and wriggling and holding, well, I might just wait with them a while. You know, some horses, if they look a bit bright in the eye and a little nervous and they're just holding there, then don't pop the flag, just wait with them a little longer and just wait, and then they might just release and come forward, almost like a post was going to hold until they step forward. But if it looks like they're just dulling and just going into la-la land, then you pop the flag and say, back into the land of the living, until they search again. But pretty well hanging on until they make a change is important. I wouldn't go putting a stick down their side to say step forward. And in some cases, because in some cases that'll just be a cue to step forward, I think it's really important a horse learns to pull and wriggle and feel and find their answer in it, so they're more set up to be tied up and search when they get a fright, when they're tied up, like hard tied to a post or something like that.
Okay, this is a question from Daniela. Her horse Tarzan, fantastic name, is going, if he's going out for a ride with other horses, or he can see a horse being saddled that's about to go on a ride. He is a little bit like a kiddie who has consumed a bag of red and green frogs and 2 litres of Coke. How do I teach him to think about other horses saddled up as, meh, all good? I need to teach him to breathe and relax. What are your thoughts, Mark?
Well, with a name like Tarzan, of course he's going to have a bit of horse in, bit of... I get the feeling horses that feel like they've eaten a bag of red frogs or red lollies or drank a lot of cordial, it's not excitement that they're feeling, it's usually a certain amount of adrenaline and anxiety. So excitement in horses, yeah, it's we use the word excitement a lot, and I'm not saying you use that word, it's just, you know, your horse is feeling like it's got all this kind of you know, it's going 100 miles an hour, but yeah, so it's basically probably quite anxious, and how to deal with that is basically just 1 second on that question, Jenny. Is it when she goes? Is it when you go out?
So she's either about to go on a ride, yeah, or she can see another horse being saddled that's going to be taken on a ride.
Okay, that was the bit. Yeah, that was a bit at the start. Okay, so there could be a trigger in seeing those horses, and it could be a past. It could be a past trigger that, you know, oh, okay, we're going to go out in a big group, and the horse is getting the adrenaline of going out with all these other horses, wanting to go with them. Which means it's probably getting anxious, because there's a certain, when it's doing that, you're kind of controlling it, doing things here, and it's saying, oh, I want to be there, and then it gets anxious and wants to be there, and it could be the trigger of being out with other horses and wanting to be with them that's making it anxious. So it's mind and its body wants to be over there, but at the moment it's over here. But even seeing a horse saddle up is interesting, because it might know that, okay, I know what's going to happen next. So I don't know the full history on the horse, in the sense of what it's been through, how many trail rides it's been on, how many things it's sort of, you know, it's a chain of events that's happening. It's seeing something happen. It's kind of knowing what's going to happen next. So basically, you know, when your horse starts to sort of get too connected with that horse over there getting saddled up, you just redirect his thoughts back to you, and just say, hey, we're calm over here, and start to sort of, you know, maybe give it something else to think about, so till it centres a bit more with you and settles down a little bit. And then when it's centred, you just might walk it over that other horse and around and maybe do something different. But basically, you've got to say that we're not involved in that. We're not involved in that horse getting saddled up, and you're not going to go out. So if it's a trigger for that horse to go into a bit of a snowball effect, it's like a snowball where they sort of, their anxiety starts to build up and their adrenaline starts to build up, then you've got to sort of change that thought, so the horse re-centers and comes back down again. So, and don't kind of just get on your horse when the snowball's, you know, getting bigger, and then ride it around and the snowball gets bigger, because you're only feeding into that problem. So you've got to tip the worry out pretty quick. So as soon as it starts and the horse starts to feel that adrenaline of seeing that, just change his thoughts, but be there, be centered, be nice and calm so the horse goes, oh, this is the alternative, just come back and center with you. I treat it more of as anxiety and a trigger than I would have, hey, I'm excited, I want to go and play. And because I treat it as anxiety, I change that thought, re-center your horse. If you get on and it starts to refocus and start to think about all that stuff, get effective with your reins in a sense that you can redirect that horse and then center it. And when you get on the particular horse like that, you get on, you ground yourself, make sure the horse is grounded and know what grounding is. You take two steps. If the horse gets that red cordial effect where it starts to go, well, I've taken two steps and I'm, well, then you have a reset button where you just redirect that horse, reground it, bring it back down, tip the worry back out again and show it that it doesn't have to get all worried and buy into that. And you can just redirect his thoughts and show it that it's not gonna, whatever it thinks is gonna happen is not gonna happen. And for a horse like that, by the sounds of it, I would avoid, you know, rides with lots of horses for a little while until you've got a really good connection and reset button and know that horse is really comfortable and happy going with you. And then, yeah, later on maybe look at things like that.
Thanks for your questions. If you've got a question of your own that you'd like to ask Mark, he does answer questions from our online members. So online members get access to all of Mark's training videos. There's over 300 now. It's just $15 a month, so it's excellent value to get really specific advice from him, plus a whole load of training information. Just jump online and you can find, just Google Mark and you'll find out how to join there. Thanks very much and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.